So we're going to take a look at things that relate to both Parshas Hazinu and also the Yom Ha'Ra'im as they lead up into Sukkos. So first of all, in Rosh Hashanah, the Shlah brings down in his parish on Maseches Rosh Hashanah in Torah Or Os Gimel, he brings down that the tekiah is a straight blast, and that's a symbol of man starting off. Elokim Ases Adam Yasher, Hashem makes us straight. Then afterwards, what happens is Shvarim and Shua. Those are both different types of crying, like the Gemara says. One is groaning, what they call genuche ganach. That's shvarim, oi, oi, or oya, 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 depending on the minag. And shua is sobbing. That's the staccato. And he says that that's a symbol of illness. Or not only illness, he says the shvarim is a symbol of illness. You're groaning during the illness, and the shua is a symbol of death. Right? It's a symbol of death that they're sobbing. The final tekiah is really caught is we're straight again after tshuva. So that's one thing. In addition, he brings down that on Rosh Hashanah itself, mm-hmm. it's like we're starting all over again. Just like the foundation blocks of the universe that Kosh Baruch created, from which to create our world, are what they refer to as Avir, Mayim, and Eish. They abbreviate that Aleph Mem Shin. Aleph Mem Shin. Avir and the Mayim and the Shin is for the Eish. Right, for the Eish of the fire.
What does Eish have to do with Rosh Hashanah?
Time out. In creation, in other words, those are what we call Mayim is Chesed, and Eish is Din, and the Avir is like the synthesis, as it were, it's Tiferes, you know, sort of like Rachamim, I guess you would call it. Okay, and those are the foundation blocks.
What about the Shin?
I'm sorry.
You can get the Shin.
No, the Shin is Eish.
Oh, the Shin is Eish,
right? Those are the foundation blocks of of creation. And the Baal Tokeya, says the Shlah, when he's blowing, so the sound of the shofar is the combination of the warmth of his body, the heat of his breath, the breath itself, and the spittle that comes out of his mouth. As, you know, he struggles to blow the shofar.
Spittle is water?
Yeah, that's the water. And so that's where we start all over again, right? The world has come to an end, we're starting all over again. And we start all over again, not in an articulate fashion, but in an inarticulate fashion. There's just the sound coming out. And there's man who's made to speak. Man was made to speak. I mean, that's when it says in Bereishis, Vayipach ba'apa, Vayia Adam le'nefesh chaya, that when God breathed life into man's nostrils and he became a living being, so the Targum says, Ruach m'malala, he became a speaking spirit. And the Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Yevolozhin, talks about that's the essence of man, the ability to take what's inside and to articulate it. But on Rosh Hashanah, in the shofar, we're not articulating. We're returning the breath.
What's the Avir?
The Avir?
The breath?
The breath. The breath. And that's the main thing, really, is the Avir with the water, with the heat. All three things. Since the main thing, that's all three things together. So we're starting anew. That's on Rosh Hashanah. And from Rosh Hashanah through Aser Semei Tshuva until Yom Kippurim, including Yom Kippurim, so we're in a state of Zachreinu L'chaim and V'chasveinu L'chaim. The right, like we say in Shemoneh Esrei, Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Hafetz L'chaim, V'chasveinu B'sefer HaChaim. So the Ari says that the Zachreinu is going on in the Neshama. And we're there at its beginning again. Kilo, Zocher, the Neshama L'chaim, and the Kasveinu is that life should also be attached now to the goof as well. Zachreinu chasveinu, and when we get to the end of Nila, then it's chasmeinu, right? To seal us in. So that's the process. We've recreated, and it's been neshama and goof, and now we're created all anew again. Right? We start all over. We're clean. We're at that last kia, as it were, at the end of Yom Kippur. We are now. Right, we're hopefully back to what it called to having done Shuvah, we're straight again. With Sukkot, then we enter into a new world. In other words, we're just like it's the fetus has been formed, and now it enters into a new world. So we enter into a world where it's a world of Kedusha. The Ari says on the Sukkah also, he says it's a representation of what the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Smolo Tachas Roshi, V'yamino Tichab Keni. His left hand is underneath my head, right? And with his right hand, he caresses me. So he says that's the Sukkah, the din in the Sukkah is that you need one full wall, another full wall, and then a Tefach. And it's like the upper arm, the forearm, and then the hand, crooked like this.
Like
right?
Holding a baby.
Right. Like small otachas roshi, that's what this says we do. The ikur dfonos of the sukkah are shnayim kiyuchasa and echad afilu tefach. The little one.
That's the three walls?
Right, the three walls. You need one full wall, two full walls, and the third one can be just a tefach. Right, so how you do that tefach, that's a discussion. But okay. So in this new world, it's called silta de mehimnusa. And as it were, under the protection or the shade of Emunah. Because that's what we've done. We've recreated, now we enter into this new world. We take the Dalad Minim on Sukkot. And with those Dalad Minim, we both unify ourselves, right? Because we know there's one Medrash that says that the Dalminim are like the spine, the lulav is the spine,
heart.
Right? The esrog is the heart, the hadasim are the eyes, and the aravos are the lips. Or also, there is the really quote, we unify the Jewish people as a whole. The esrog being the tzaddikim who are both learned and focused on the maisim tovim, right, the mitzvahs properly. Their Torah is giving life to their mitzvahs, right? Then there are the people who are involved in mitzvahs but they don't have the Torah, as it were, to back it up, and that's what it called. That's the lulav, right? That's Hadassim. Then there are those who have the Torah, right? But it's not, as it were, finding full expression in terms of their mitzvahs. That's the lulav. And there are those, unfortunately, are lagging behind in both, right? They're struggling with both Torah and the excitement of the mitzvahs, and those are the aravos. But to all, we're trying to come to be mashing one another, to all put together. So we're recreating ourselves in a new environment in the sukkah. We're trying to recreate the Jewish people. It's interesting that when we start saying Avinu Malkeinu together, and when they say Avinu Malkeinu, the minig is, under normal circumstances, they start saying it together in Hachazirenu b'seshuva shleim l'fanecha. Avinu Malkeinu, and until then everybody says it individually. You come to Avinu Malkeinu Hachazirenu b'seshuva shleim l'fanecha. That Hachazirenu b'seshuva shleim l'fanecha is the same terminology that you find in the bracha of tshuva and during Shemoneh Esrei all year round. Hashivenu Avinu l'sorasecha, the Kavenu Malkeinu b'sorasecha, Hachazirenu b'seshuva shleim l'fanecha. So Rav Avram ben Agra says, on the one hand, that's talking about, it's summing up the idea of tshuva. On the other hand, he says the three parts of the bracha are Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha, to get us to reconnect properly to the Torah. We just have to turn around for that, because Torah is always close. Just you maybe facing the wrong direction. You got to turn around, right? Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha, turn us around to the Torah. Karvinu Malkeinu V'Rasecha. We're in fact distant from Avoda because we don't have a base on Mikdash. We can't do the Korbanos. We're far away. We're really asked to be brought back to that because that's far away. And then finally, he says, "V'Hachaziveinu B'Shuvah Shleimu Fanecha," is referring to a proper tshuva is when all the Jewish people unite with one another. "V'Hachaziveinu B'Shuvah Shleimu," bring us together, Lefanecha, before you, as we all do tshuva in a unit. So that's the ultimate tshuva. It's not just every individual, but when we build the bridges amongst ourselves, between ourselves. So it's Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. The three parts of the bracha there. So it's interesting that's also in Achazireinu B'Shuva Shleima Lefanecha that we say in Avinu Malkeinu. That's where the Tzibur starts to say together with the Chazan. It's interesting. So now people, the Seder, the Ram and Agrat, it's very interesting. And it goes on. It says all of Yisrael, Chazal say that all of Yisrael are ru'uyim to sit in one sukkah. We're all right to sit together in one sukkah. So that's
right?
Right. Okay. So now, so we've seen a little bit Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and where that leads to. Derech Agav, I would mention that the Shlah says that when we're talking about the shofar, it says in the middle is where a person becomes crooked, the broken kolos, the shvarim, the trua, right, the sign of illness, etc. He refers to us as being ikesh ufesalto, crooked, and we become crooked, and that's from our parsha Hazinu. Right, that's a quote from our parsha. In other words, that's the crookedness in the middle. Hashem makes us straight. We make ourselves crooked. But in turn, then we have to, what do you call? We cry, right? When in our illness, etc. We do tshuva and we become straight again. So let's take a look at Hazinu. Let's take a look at Hazinu. Oh, Derech Agav in Sukkah, I would say that, and the goal of all of Sukkahs is we reach Simchas Torah. We come back into the house with all the lessons that we've taken, from Yom Nerayim and from Sukkahs, and now we're trying to bring it back into our regular world without all the devices, without all the lulav, without the esrog, without the sukkah. Now we bring it back into our house, and with that, it's going to carry us for the whole year, God willing. Anyway, so now let's take a look at Hazinu. In Hazinu, Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Right, so this is Hazinu Hashamayim V'Adabera. This is Shema Ha'aretz Imrei Fi. So Rashi says, Hazinu Hashamayim, the Shamayim should pay attention, should listen. Sha'ani masra behem b'Yisrael. I give hasra, warning, to the Jewish people. V'tiu atem edim b'davar, and you should be edim in this. Shekach amarti lahem, that this is what I said to them. Sha'atem tiu edim, that you'll be the edim. V'chein v'tishma aretz, and so to the earth should listen. V'lama heid behem shemayim v'aretz. Why was he made in them shemayim v'aretz? Amar Moshe. Moshe said, Ani basar v'dam. I'm flesh and blood. Lamachani mace. Tomorrow I'm going to die. Im yom Yisrael lo kibalnu aleinu habris. Right? If the Torah, if I die, the Jewish people say we weren't makabel the bris, the covenant between us and the Rabbonu Shalom. Mi bal makrishem. Who will come and contradict them? Lefir heid behem shamayim v'aretz. Right, therefore, Kodesh Baruch was made upon them Shemayim v'Oretz, Shem Kayomim la'olam, that they exist forever. V'od, Shem Yi. Okay, that's the first thing. So the Shemayim v'Oretz are going to be the Edim.
Three.
Problem is, who hears this Eidus? What does this mean? The old, says Rashi, Shim Yizku Yavo Eidin the Yitnu Schoram. Old, says Rashi, that if they're Zochen, or the Jewish people do what's right, what's incumbent upon them, Yavo Eidin the Yitnu Schoram. The Eidin will come and give the reward. Hagefen Titen Pirya V'Aretz Titen Yevula V'Shamayim Yitnu Talom. The earth will give its produce. The heavens will give its precipitation. And if they become liable, though, in other words, if they don't do what's incumbent upon them, they become liable, so then they'll receive the punishment from the Edim. Like it says, V'yada Edim Tiyoba B'Rishona, like the Edim, the first ones to throw, cast the first stone. V'atzar, the Shamayim, the heavens will no longer give its precipitation, V'liyem Matar, there'll no longer be rain, V'adama Losi Tenesivullah, and the earth will no longer give its produce. And then afterwards they'll be destroyed quickly by the Ovdei Kochavim. So a lot of problems here.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is how is it? Have you heard the heavens speaking to you recently, right? Or the earth, if you have, right? So then tell me what you're drinking. and the second thing is. That's one thing, is that they're bearing testimony. Who hears the testimony? Who hears the testimony? The second thing is, we're talking about the Edim, why is he made Shemayim V'Aretz? Rashi says another thing, because the Edim should give reward or give punishment. So I understand that the Edim are the ones, once they give their testimony, so it says, V'yada Edim Tiyabo Batchila B'Rishona, that they're the first ones to cast the stones. Where do the Edim give reward to somebody? Where do we have a model of Edim giving reward?
The reward is...
The reward is not right, but where do you see Edus like that in the Torah? I don't see... Where do we see Edus of that sort in the Torah? And then the last thing is... So that's what he's talking about. Excuse me. That's what he's talking about. So then, why does he end off with... Why we bring the goyim into here? I mean, it's true, though, the goyim get involved also, they give us lots of tzaras, but what does that have to do with what we're talking about over here of the Eidus? The Shemayim V'Aretz. We're talking about the Shemayim V'Aretz. So, I dare say that the first thing, the testimony, is if you look in Tehillim, mm-hmm. in Perek Ches,
what are you going to there for?
I think to discuss the idea of what sort of the testimony Shemayim V'Aretz give. This parak in Tehillim, mm-hmm. So the Zohar says that when David HaMelech was a shepherd, mm-hmm. and he would be out all alone in the desert, and he'd see the heavens before him. This is one of the prakim that he said. And here it says, L'Natzeach L'Agitis Mizmor L'David Hashem Adoneinu Ma Adir Shemcha B'Chol HaAretz. How powerful. Right, the Sefer Ikra says, Ma Adir Shemcha B'Chol HaAretz. What do you get out of the Aretz? What power do you get from the Aretz? The way he understands it. Ma Adir. To that Sefer Ikraman says, what sort of power do you get from the Aretz? Asher Tna Hodcha L'Shamayim. Just leave your glory in the heavens. Look how magnificent the heavens are. What do you get out of the Aretz? What do you get out of the Aretz? Given that there's a creator. But like, the heavens are so phantasmagoric. Septillions, hundreds of septillions of stars. I mean, it's not that they could see them then, but they knew by Kabbalah that there were that many stars there. That the Ramah Mipano, according to his cheshbon on the Gemara and Bracha, shows they knew by Kabbalah, because they didn't have the instruments to do it. But the amount of numbers of stars that they attribute to being in the cosmos is very similar to the number that the Hubble telescope says is there. There,
right.
Hundreds of septillions of stars. This is like the tremendous number. So what do you get from the Aretz? Shetnoot Kala Shemaim. There's something going on over here. You've laid a foundation of strength from just the mouth of man, you know, who are little babies. Leman Tzorecha. Something is here. This stands in opposition to those who are Tzorecha, those who say that you're not involved with man. In other words, there's something to be gained from the Aretz. But he first starts off, Madi, what is it to be gained from the Aretz? Look up, Megashir, the whole culture, mind your glory should be in heaven. Yet be Piolim, the Yomkin Yisadata Oz, Leman Tzorecha. This is against those who would say that you're not involved in man's life. There's something here. You show your kindness to frail man. Lahashbis Oyev Misnakim. To, as it were, to cause to cease any enemies of yours. You know, the enemies meaning those who say that God's not involved in the earth, in man's affairs. Mm-hmm. But again, I look at your heavens, I see the handiwork of your fingers, I see the stars, the moon, the stars, the shokanan that you placed there. Maya nosh kisiz kirenu. What is man that he should be mentioned, that you should remember him, siz kirenu. Like Zechira.
The stars are so awesome.
Yeah, this is what he came in. Why should you be involved in him? Why should you appoint this to happen and that to happen? But you've made him as just a little bit less than what he called it. You've made him like the angels. I mean, man is greater than the angels in that sense. He's a little bit less than Kaviyachal, the Boreshul himself. Man has free will. When you've crowned him with glory, nothing else has free will. The universe, I mean, everything makes choices. Real choices are not free will, right? Bechira, they're not bechira. They're teva. Even when a person chooses, should I buy, you know, strawberry frozen yogurt or chocolate frozen yogurt? That's not bechira. That's just, you know, what pulls me in one direction more than the other. Bechira is when you choose. Bechira is a mila, like Rabbi Yonah says. It's a quality to be able to choose to do that which is right. And not necessarily what's the easiest thing, but what's convenient. That's Bechira. So you've given man all this glory. You put him in dominion over all your creations here, etc. And then he finishes off, Hashem Eloheinu Ma Adir Shemcha B'chol Ha'aretz. Once again, he finishes off with this sentence. Hashem Eloheinu, right, the Ribono Shel Olam, our master, how great is your name upon the Aretz. So note, it's the same Pasuk, over here in Yud, Pasuk Yud, in Perek Ches, as it is over here. Except that over here, he says, Hashem, Adonai, Ma'at, Yishim, Chavot, Hashem, Tana, Hod, Chol, Shemaim, your glory should be in heaven. What are you getting from earth? And over here, it doesn't say that. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that these psukim were also said by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Malachim when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemaim to get the Torah. Right, he went up to Shemaim to get the Torah, and these psukim.
Yeah.
And when Moshe Rabbeinu went up, so the Malachim said, "What is a mortal doing here?" And Hashem says to get the Torah, and the Malachim go ballistic. You're going to give the Torah to man. He's going to ruin it. He's going to get it dirty. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Hazer lem tshuva, give him an answer." Cause them to agree with you. He says, I'm afraid to. I'm afraid they'll burn me up. So Hashem says to him, hold on to my kisei kovod and answer them. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, tell me something. Do you have any strife amongst you? Do you have any jealousy? Do you have any desire? Do you have any will to do over to Zara? Did you ever go down to Egypt? Do you have parents to honor? He says, you can appreciate the Torah, but you can't create something new with the Torah. You can't create light out of darkness. We can. That's why he's holding up Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, because that's the greatest Kod Shamayim.
Who are you talking to? The heavens?
He's talking to the Malachim.
Uh-huh.
Malachim. And that's why they finally agreed to him.
But the heavens can create light
and darkness. No, the heavens can't create light and darkness. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to them, we, who are mortal, so we live in a world of darkness.
we can bring the light of the Torah and make light where there was previously darkness. We have desires, we have angers, we have passions, we have jealousies, we have strife. We can use the Torah, as it were, to bring Hashem's light into that place of darkness.
Right.
You can't do that. You don't have the ability to create light out of darkness. Right? You can't bring Hashem's presence to something where ostensibly you don't see it. And that's the quality of the Torah that can only be accomplished here on earth, where man could possibly mess it up, but it has the possibility also to do this great thing. That's why Hashem is telling Moshe, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod, because that's a great Kavod for the Ribono Shel Olam. Again, it's all for man's purpose, but the fact is that that's something that Malachim can't do. So that's why the parak ends up, Hashem Adonino Ma'adir Shem Chavah Chol Arts. This time it doesn't say, Hashem Tzedok Chal HaShemayim, bring your splendor upon the heavens. Because really the greatest splendor of Hashem comes, in that sense, really from the Aretz, the strength of Hashem, the power to be able to use the Torah to take darkness and to dispel the darkness with the light of the Torah.
The Torah was given to the earth.
Right, right. So all of this was generated by his looking out into the heavens. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, he wasn't asleep. He wasn't living a life of plastic, David HaMelech. He looks out into the heavens. He says, what's all this about? All this magnificence. And yet man is here. What's man? What's man's purpose? This is all generated by looking out into the vastness of the cosmos. This is like the Rambam says in the second parak of Yesod HaTorah. How does a person come to both create the backdrop of love and fear of Hashem? He says, look at the natural world. Look at the heavens. Look at the natural world. How magnificent they are. And at first glance, he says, well, I want to know who the one is the source of all this. Because how can I not know? I mean, this is so magnificent. It's so complex. It's so exquisite. It's so endless looking. I need to know who the author of all this is. And the minute the person experiences that, then says the Rama, then he's taken aback just a moment. He goes into a state of fear. That creates the backdrop. That's the whole backdrop of that's the reka. That's like the canvas upon which a person establishes a relationship with Hashem. If he looks out in the world and says, "Where am I? Why am I here? What is all this about?" So I think that's the testimony. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about. The testimony is even after I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
Even after I'm gone. But the heavens and the earth will still be here. And then even subsequent generations want to say, we don't have a bris with Hashem. But if you look at the heavens and the earth, they'll bear witness. They'll bear witness, to the fact that there's got to be something else here. They'll bear witness to the bris, just like this parak, as it were, starts off with David HaMelech, as we're wondering, what's it all about? Yeah? And then, like the Gemara in Shabbos says, the only conclusion is, there's a bris. There's a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people. There's something called the Torah that makes sense out of all this. Because with the Torah, you can create light in where places that were previously darkness. That's the magnificence that has been given to man, the strength that's been given to man, that no other creature has, and no other place has, and only upon the earth and only to man it's given. So I think that's the witness. Those are the witnesses that Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about. Because we don't hear them talking, but if we choose, if we choose to look to them, then we hear them speaking. We hear them speaking to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first thing. The second thing is that Rashi says is that they bear, as it were, they bear witness, and not only bear witness, but they're there to give reward or to give punishment. So punishment we understand, right? Because that's what Adam do. When they testify in a capital case, they're the first ones to start the punishment. Right? You got to aid him. They aid him, what do you call it, after the person's been judged. Where's the reward? So I dare say that we have an adus also. There's also adus in mominus, in documents, in civil cases, in monetary cases. When they aid him, as it were, when the Edim are their signatures are authenticated, the person's able to collect. There's a shtar. So too, that's the type of aedis we're talking about over here. There's a reward. In other words, when the person's actions are in sync with what the aedim are saying,
mm-hmm.
then the aedim give him the capacity to collect.
Collect what?
Collect. Let's say he lent money to somebody. Wrote a document. Mm-hmm. When the witnesses' signatures are authenticated, and they say that what he said he did is in fact what he did, they give him the ability to collect. That's reward. That's where the case of that you find witnesses that both are enable a person to receive reward, if you could call it, right? To be able to collect his money. They authenticate him. And the latter case is the capital case, where the person goes cockeyed. He's, but he doesn't do what he's supposed to do. So then they in turn they're the punishment. They start the punishment. We said also though in Rashi something strange, that why does he end off with the goyim destroying them? What does that have to do with the heavens and the earth? Right? So if you look in
what do you mean by that question?
Because Rashi says, yeah. Again, Rashi's making a big deal out of the Shemaim and the Aretz.
Mm-hmm.
And then he ends off and he says, and if they don't do the right thing, so then the heavens will stop giving you the precipitation,
right.
The earth will no longer give its produce, and then Rashi, last words in Rashi, in Pasuk Aleph, v'achakach, v'avadetem mehera, aydei ovdikacham, and then you'll be destroyed quickly through the by the ovdikacham, by the idolaters. What does that have to do with the Shemaim Varetz? Why are we still talking about the Goyim? I mean, it's true that they'll do bad things to us, but that doesn't have to do with the topic over here. Mm-hmm. So, if you take a look, remember we said before that when a person becomes crooked, when a person leaves the Derech of Hashem, so the Shlo used the terminology, he becomes Ikesh ufsaltol. Ikesh is crooked, ufsaltol is twisted. So if you look in Pasuk Hey, here, in our parak here, it says, Shiches lo bonav mumam, when his children is where they destroy him, right? Shiches lo bonav mumam, when they destroy the relationship with him, they destroy themselves. Shiches lo, right? I mean, the way the Chazal said, "Shiches lo," they think that they're being mashkes. They think they're destroying God. Forbid, you know, they're punishing God or they're lessening God. Chas v'chalil. Lo, not true. It's not that God is suffering. Banav mumam. They're creating a mum in themselves. Seen pasuk hey, right? Lo, banav mumam. Shiches here, Rico. Where is it? Shiches lo. They think they're doing something bad to him. Lo, no. Banav mumam. And as they're doing it to themselves, then as his children are doing it to themselves, banav, it's their mum, it's their blemish. Dor, ikesh, uvesalto, crooked and twisted. So in the Targum Yonasan Menu Zeal, what is it, right?
The
in hay, in the Targum Yonasan Zeal, really the it says chavilu lahon, they have damaged themselves, lo lay, right? Not him, they haven't damaged him. We damage ourselves when we mess up. Not him, not the Rabbon Shalom. Benaya, what do you call it? His sons, his children, that's us. The Flachu, who served, where is it? Oh no, I said that I was reading the Unklus, I take it back. Chabilu of Deon in Yunus and Mirzir. Chabilu of Deon, Tavia recall Benaya, Chavivaya, Ishtakach Muma Bahon. So their actions, as it were, are destroying themselves, who are their beloved to Hashem, but they're destroying themselves. It's in them that have now found the moon. Dora Ukmana, right, a crooked generation, the Ashnil of Adeon, they twisted their actions, V'uf, say there, Dinei da alma ishtani aleon, and now the seder of the world changes on them, and they're messed up now. Now they made the actions cockeyed, but now the order of the world is cockeyed. So what does that have to do with the goyim?
Have to do with the
goyim. Well, see,
we're talking about the heavens and earth.
Right, oh, so let's see. When the recording this, once they mess up that system, so now they really don't have a place left in the world anymore.
Who?
The Jews, uh-huh. Right? Once we mess it up, so it's not just that the heavens and the earth rebel against us, but we lose our place in the world. What does that mean? That's what it means. The goyim will come and destroy us. The remember we once the Chazal tell the story. The Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was walking outside the walls of Yerushalayim at the time of the Churban with his Talmidim, and he came upon a young woman, and she was picking out barley corns, right, from the fecal matter of a chamor that belonged to an Aravi.
Right.
And she turned to him. She says, "Rebbe, Parnaseni, feed me." And he looks at her and says, "I know you." And she says, "Don't you remember me? I'm the daughter of Nachdimon Ben Gorion, who is one of the richest men in Yerushalayim. And you sign him my ksuba." And he tells the students, right, there's a spectacular amount of money, etc. And he turns his eyes heavenward and he says, "Ashreim Yisrael, Ashreichem Yisrael, how authenticated you are, O Jewish people." It's interesting, he uses the word Ashreichem. Ashreichem, that's like, be sure that's an authentication. Authentication from the heavens. Ashreichem Yisrael, you've been authenticated. When you do the will of God, the no nation, in of the Lashon Sholetes, but no nation, no tongue can have any dominion over you. And when you don't do the will of God, so not only do you fall into the hands of the goyim, you fall into the hands of a lowly goyim, lowly nation, and not into their hands, into the hands of their animals, not even just in the hands of the animals, but in the hands of the fecal matter of those animals. She's picking out animal feed, barley corns, from the fecal matter of a chamor that belonged to an Arab, right? So etc. So that's why Rashi is saying over here that the goyim finish it off. He's not just saying one more tzara. You know, once we've lost our place in the world, and it's our job description, right? It tells is to be attached to a system which transcends this world. It really it's a higher system, and because of that, then Hashem causes that system to fall into tow, right? To give us the rain, to give us whatever we need in order to be able to follow the system of Torah. When we fall off from their system, then the heavens rebel against us, the earth rebels against us, and we no longer have a place on the earth, and now we fall into the hands of the goyim. Because the goyim have a hand, they have a place on the physical earth. That's their system. That's what they live with. That's what they live in. That's not our place. I mean, we walk there, but really our heads are meant to be attached to Shemayim. Once we've lost that capacity, so now the goyim, as it were, have shlita upon us. So that's again, if we think back to what we were talking before, Legabe, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, right, this whole parsha is describing, yeah, the optimal, and God forbid, the messed up relationship that we have with the system of Shamayim Va'aretz when we're functioning or dysfunctioning. So again, I'm saying this is a good hachana, it's a good introduction to Sukkot, where Sukkot, after we're coming off the cleansing of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, now we're going to build a whole new world correctly. We can start off with Emuna, sitting in the shade of Hashem's Emuna in the Sukkah. Then, right, what's the next pasuk say? Next about Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis.
Yarof.
Right. And Yarof, Kamatar Likhi, Tizal Katal Imrasi. Kisirim Ale Desha, Vichivivim Ale Esev. So in other words, the first Pasuk, the Eidus of the Shemayim V'aretz is, that's like the canvas. Look to the Shemayim V'aretz. What do you think it's all about? Hmm. Why are you here? Why is that there? Why is that magnificent? What's man here for? The second pasuk is, Yarof Kamatar Likhi, that's talking about Torah. Torah is like the rain to the earth. Or Torah is like the rain upon man, as it were. Yarof Kamatar Likhi, that the matar, the rain comes down to the earth,
like rain. The Torah comes out to you like rain. It gives it life. Tizal katalim rasi, and the dew flows. So it says, right? Arof kamatar likhi. It uses the terminology likhi. Likhi is a reference to the Torah. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Ki lekach tov nasati lachem Torah si al ta'azovu."
This likhi is a wall, no?
What?
What's a lech? A lech is a wall.
No, that's the that lamed ches yud. That's what you call. That's when you in Erevin, when you are putting up like a post. This is likhi, like we say when we take out the Torah. Ki lekach tov nasati lechem Torah si al ta'azovu. When we put it back, ki lekach tov nasati lechem Torah si al ta'azovu. Eitzayim hilamachazikim ba. Right, right. Lekach. What those called the lekach? What's a lekach? So on this pasuk, kilekach tov nasati lechem Torah si al ta'azovu, so the Gemara in Bracha says that the Torah has both a nature of something that's sold, and also the nature of something which is given as a matana. Kilekach tov, that lekach.
Say that. Say it again.
The Torah has an aspect both of something that's acquired, lakicha, like to take something through purchasing, and the Torah is also a matana, because it says kilekach tov nasati, not macharti, nasati, I gave to you, lachem, Torah si al ta'azovu. So the Gemara in Bracha says on Daf Hey that on this pasuk Yilekach Tov Nasati Lechem Torah Si Al Ta'azovu, that ordinarily when someone sells something, so they're not happy about it. Why? Because they had to sell because they needed money, so they sold it. But in a matana, right? The giver is always happy because he wanted to give. The reason why when a person sells something he's unhappy is because he no longer has the thing that he was forced to sell for the sake of the cash. Right? But when a person is giving a matana, he wants to give it. So says the Gemara there, the Torah is not like any other purchase. Ordinarily, in a regular purchase, a person is saddened by having to give it away. But not so by the Torah. It says, Rukuk, I'm just thinking part of what he says there. He says, why? Because in anything that you give away, that you sell, it's no longer yours. But that's not the way it is in Ruchnius. The Torah remains still on Shammai.
Can't sell your...
Right? No, I'm saying like when a Kosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah, it still remains in Shammai. There's a new connection to us. So it has the qualities, as it were, right, of now you purchase it, right? You purchase it through your effort, etc. But Lamaisa, it's the quality of Matana, the Ribbono Shel Olam who's giving it, is not saddened by it because he's not lost it, because really the whole purpose of this thing is that it should be connect the Shemaim to the Aretz. That's the purpose of the Torah. The Torah connects the Shemaim to Aretz. It takes the truths from the heaven and implants them down here on the earth. But it's not as though it's left the what do you call it, the Shemaim entirely. Albeit, it's true that Torah Shebaal Peh is down here on the earth. We were meant to decide it over here, but it's still connected to its roots in heaven. So that's why the Torah has two qualities. It's Ya'arof Kamatar Likhi, just like the rain comes down from heaven and causes things to grow over here. That's the Torah Shebechsav.
Mm-hmm.
We're using the terminology now, the Sfasemis. In what do you call it? His last shtick on Ha'azinu, Tafresh Samachalach. He says the Torah Shebichsav comes down here like rain, right? And that's where Hashem gives it to us. We're now attached to Hashem. He's given us His Torah. And then Tizal Katal Imrasi. Now it flows like dew. Dew is not just from the heavens above. Dew has to come also from the warmth of the earth, right? And then the cooling of the air, and that causes the condensation. Tal is generated from the earth. He says, that's Torah Shebaal Peh. So those, what do you call those, the two aspects of Torah. Torah Shebichsav comes down like rain, right? But as the Gemara said in Brachos, it's not like it left the heavens and no longer has attachment to there. That's why Hashem he's never lost it, because in Ruchnias, it never leaves its source. It just extends.
And in addition, now this Torah Shebal Peh, which is going to rise up, Tizal Katal Imrasi. So the Sasemis says, he says, the what comes down from heaven is like the Aseres Adibros. Bang! Comes down. Strong, like a strong rain. Comes down to us. It keeps, attaches us to the heaven. And then the Tal that's over here is Tal Imrasi. It gives us the ability to understand creation itself. To be able to color creation. We said, we know that the like it says in Avos, that Kosh Baruch Hu created the world with Asara Ma'amaros. Amarim. Imrasi. Right? He created the world with Asara Ma'amaros, says the Sfas-Emes. So now the through receiving the Torah from above, and now with our Torah Shebal Peh, it causes it to flow, what do you call it, causes the flowing of the dew. The dew now flows, Imrasi, now we understand what the world is about, what this is for, and what's that for, and what needs to be done over here, the mitzvos, the Torah, etc. So if you think about it, really, the first two psukim really are the way the Rambam describes both the structure of our relationship with Hashem. That's you look out into the heavens, like, what's it all about? And that's what he said in Yisodei Torah, look out, and that awakening inside you. There's a creator here, I have to know him. I have to come close to him. But yet, I have to be and stand in awe of him. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the second pasuk is, and so how do you get close to him? Through the Torah. Through the Torah. And that's what the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos. Ketzer Aderech La'Avoso, how do you come to love Hashem? Learn the Torah. Learn the Torah. And that's how you love. So the first pasuk and the second pasuk are like the canvas, and then what do you call it? Then the Torah that you paint upon on the canvas comes down from heaven, and then it gives you the ability, as it were, to paint, to color all of what do you call it, of what are life's objects, what are life's experiences, what are life's relationships, what are you supposed to do with them? That the Torah teaches you. So that, I think, is I think is really cool. The first two psukim, and I think that's really cool. That's the edus over here. That's what really cool. It's telling us. Once we have that in our mind, this our relationship to the world, the structure, etc. It'll be easier for us to realize what we're going to do on Sukkot. We're transitioning, and now we're creating a model world. The Sukkah. It's going to be a place of Torah, a place of Simcha, a place of Shalom, right? Sukkah Shalom. All those things. As we feel Hashem embracing us, right? The whole week. And at the end, then we'll take all of that on Simcha's Torah, and we'll bring all that joy back into the house. That'll carry us through the whole year. So I think we better stop there. I think
yes,
that's
very good.
That's more than enough to chew at the moment.
You can bear a lot.